Ticket with the programming. I'm Chase Ingram.
I'm Captain America.
And along with me is Bill Grundler.
Wolverine.
And we have some special, special guests. Special, special guests. And I've got to make sure I get these in the right spot.
Come on now.
But returning to the show is Mr. John Young. Our next guest, I'm going to do something out of order, and I'm going to let people guess. I'm going to play the soundbite first, and you guys let me know who you think this could be for. I've been waiting to play this for a long time.
Did you ever think that maybe there's more to life than being really, really, really ridiculously good looking?
And the answer is no if you're J.R. Howell.
That's great. That's so good.
Oh, wow. We have events, guys. We have semifinal events. I've talked intermittently with all of you, no one more than J.R., about these things. And now we are here to talk programming. And J.R., I know we've talked programming with you prior, but we haven't got to just like review and react with you on the show before. So I am.
No, I think it's the first time because we're always saving it for our own shows.
That's right. So. That's right.
This is like Nerd City right now. CrossFit Nerd City.
I don't know how to handle Nerd this.
I'm excited.
I don't know. But what I'm also excited is that if you look at me in the gray and if you look at JR in the yellow, don't worry, John, yours is coming.
Okay.
The OG Culture is releasing the Pukey. The original, the OG of the OG logos is the Pukey is back. I'm rocking it right now. It's coming out for semifinals in two colors. I'm wearing the gray. JR's wearing the yellow. Pukey's Health and Fitness Club. Smoking you like cheap crack since 2001, which the date reflects what?
The invention of CrossFit?
No.
Oh, where's my...
What is the .com?
Correct.
Thank you very much. Correct. For $1,000.
Jeopardy will be back next week, by the way. We're still trying to see if we can swindle John Young to get back on the show due to a scoring miscalculation on my part. He's taking the high road. But these will be available soon, but they are making their way out into the world now. And I cannot wait for everyone to get theirs, as if JR couldn't look any better. He is rocking that shirt. But we've got events to talk about. We're going to react. We're going to review. We'll game plan a little bit. We'll talk shop. All the things programming nerds love to do. But before we get there, we are going to semifinals. And this is the semifinal events. So let's hype up what's coming to North America at the end of this month. The North American semifinals are coming at the end of this month, and it'll all kick off as we're back in Carson, California with the North America West semifinal and the West Coast Classic. If you're watching on YouTube, scan the QR code, 3-day passes, 2-day passes, single day passes to have a seat in the greatest CrossFit arena ever created for the sport that is the Tennis Stadium. in Carson, California. At the end of the week after May 31st through June 2nd, it is the Syndicate Crown, the North America East semifinal in Knoxville, Tennessee. You can scan the QR code at the bottom for their multi-day passes or single-day passes, as well as sign up for the community event, which has three different days of competition. You don't have to sign up for one, or you can sign up for all if you want to. But a ticket to that, a ticket to compete for fun in front of your peers or alongside them, gets you tickets to the whole weekend. So make sure you guys get your butts in those seats, because not only do we know the fields that are going to be competing in semifinals this year, barring maybe not accepting individual tickets or invites, but we now know the events. And it all started off with a post from Andrew Hiller about what the potential workouts could be. We didn't know if they were real, although John somehow confirmed that that they were through the grapevine of people that were saying things to him, and however far that trickles out and trickles back. And Hiller actually did a video last night about that whole thing. And personally, on my end, is I hate this. I hate that there's leaks.
Let me ask you this. Do you hate that it's leaks more than knowing this early? Or is it about the leaks or knowing so early?
It's about the leaks. Because, you know, growing within this company, being a part of the media team since 2012, seminar staff, and now working for CrossFit itself, is that back in the day, like, this stuff was dead serious and it rarely ever happened. And then when it did, there were swift reactions to this. And there was a time that I have told a story about this in 2016 where the open announcements were getting leaked. And I figured out where that trail was leading, and along with Dave, is then it was figured out of who that was, and they don't work for CrossFit anymore. Mm-hmm. Right? I don't know where this leak is coming from, but it will all originate in-house. And the thing with that is, like, there's graphics people that they work with, there's signage people that they work with, there's sponsors they work with, there's semifinal event coordinators that they work with, there's equipment retailers that they have to work with, because not everybody gets Rogue. And the fact that this is even a thing pisses me off so much, because it's breaking trust. It's muddling the purity of what I believe is holding to your word and keeping things secret. Because when these things are released to anybody, it is a well-known, often spoken thing, is we do not talk about these things ever. Even if you think this person will know, you don't guess. You just keep it to yourself, because there is no benefit to this getting out. And that's what pisses me off the most. From our perspective is, all right, we get to talk about them earlier than maybe we would have gotten them here.
You know, I agree with all the stuff you're saying. I mean, the sentiments of that, I mean, I've been part of that stuff for years and years and years as well. And I hate the fact that it does happen and has happened. Since I am not as tied to CrossFit the same way you are anymore, I look at this and I think this is the longest amount. Do you remember, and you guys talk about this, do you remember when it was the old regionals?
Yep.
And you were the last weekend to go? All you did for a month was the same mother effing workouts every day,
yeah,
every different way, trying to figure out sets and rep times and schemes and strategies. And I'm bummed now because all these athletes are doing that. They all know, and like, they're going to be doing that for the next 3 weeks only, because why do something else? It all comes down to this race to get yourself to the games. And yeah, I don't see any athletes doing anything different. And I mean, okay, granted, we used to talk about the difference between week one, where you only had, I mean, less than a week. They would kind of start to leak the stuff out on the Monday and they'd be competing on the Friday.
Yeah.
But the first week scores versus the third week scores.
Well, they're always slower and less weight, unless it's just a strong person.
Right. I think that's going to be a big difference for a lot of the athletes, and something that they haven't really ever been used to.
Yeah.
This much lead time.
And to Spin's point is, like, there's too many people in the know. I'm not blaming CrossFit per se, because they have to tell people certain things. I'm just saying whoever did this, like, you're a piece of shit. And I'll just straight up say it. Like, you do not belong in whatever safe space that you were brought into, you don't belong here. And I'm not saying that came from CrossFit, because like they're telling people that need to know, and those people could have told somebody else. So I'm not saying this is coming from CrossFit, but if this came from you and you were the patient zero, like, I know we don't cuss on this show, but like, fuck you. That's how I feel about it. Now, that being said, on the coaching side about repeating workouts for multiple weeks going in, because now we have 2 weeks to get there. JR, as a coach of athletes that may or may not be competing at semifinals, how do you feel about having this much lead time depending on when they will be competing at semifinals?
Yeah, I'm sure a lot of the coaches would echo the sentiment that it's going to be tough to pull the reins and convince your athletes that we're not just going to get better at front squatting 225 in 3 weeks by front squatting 225 three or four days a week. It doesn't really work that way. But what you can do is you can have some overuse injury. The first three workouts have bounding. If we run too much, if we do too many double unders, if we do too many rebounding box jump overs, the likelihood of you having a calf that starts to get aggravated or your Achilles starting to get sore, that goes way up.
Tendonitis.
Yeah. So I just think when you put it into that context, especially when you're trying to communicate with the athletes, obviously you want to instill confidence in them to know that, hey, you don't need to do these workouts three or four times. You know, maybe we run through them once in like a simulation thing. But then after that, we just do touches. And if you're someone who coaches a really high level athlete, you try to remind them that, hey, they're going to be 10 or 12 spots. I know you want to go and win, but is the goal the games or is the goal just to go to semifinals?
Yeah. I mean, I would almost on some of the elements, like you just said, all the bounding with the running and the right into the jump rope. If you have an athlete that is like, they can do double unders in their sleep, I wouldn't even have them touch the rope because they don't need to test that. I mean, like for me, like I pull ups for me or chest bar pull ups, if that was in there, wouldn't even be an issue for me. So like, I wouldn't even waste my time testing that because there's no need to. I know that people are going to want to test strategies, and you're right. You're not going to increase your 225 front squat rep cycle, but you can sit there and play with strategies, which I think is kind of, I mean, it's kind of fun, but you're right. I think the coach, it's now on the coach a lot for those athletes to ride the hell out of those reins because the athletes are going to want to do it. Look how many times they want to do just for the qualifier, you know, and this is now everybody knows the roadmap. So,
John, for you, is that say you're competing in semifinals, like how would you approach this? Is it, hey, I want to do maybe you're, say you're week three, you've got, you're 3 weeks out now because semifinal starts on this day in 2 weeks, which is wild to think about, right? What would be, say, your plan? Obviously it had to be with discussions with your coach, but like, are you doing a full run through maybe this weekend and then doing bits and pieces leading up? But what would be the best approach for yourself as an athlete?
Well, like, I mean, if it's a workout, like what Bill just said, like if, like the snatch workout five, I don't need to do that workout. Right. Like just snatch, like, or like I'll be able to do that then. Like it's not. And then I think whatever workout that I'm the weakest at, I probably do something of that nature 3 to 4 times a week, but not like the whole workout.
Times a week?
No, like something of that nature.
Okay.
Like I have, like say handstand walking is I'm not the best handstand walker. Then I'm like trying to do speed handstand walking or in a Metcon or whatever, like a part of my normal training, like a little bit more than normal. Legless rope climbs. I'll do 3 legless rope climbs in my warm up every day, but then that's it. That's it. Like it's not a part of my normal training. And then then after that, I mean, like whatever my coach thinks is best is probably what I'll do.
Yeah.
I just think it hit the weakest thing, like your weakest workouts. You probably hit, you do something that's you're weak at 3 to 4 times and maybe improve 1%, 2%. Better.
Do you think it's about getting better, or do you think it's about like what JR was talking about, like trying to instill just a touch more confidence in whatever level of that weakness?
Well, confidence, yeah, confidence is probably the number one thing, but I also think like you probably should pick the work, like I think workout 6, especially for the women, is probably a big one you could test a couple times.
Oh,
for the best, for your best strategy,
right?
you know, maybe you can send it the whole time and still do 15 unbroken. Maybe it's like, oh, I know I'm going to go 9-3-3 and I'm faster that way, or I'm fresher on the lunges that way. Like my grip stays the same. Like that's one you could kind of strategy, or, you know, do different strategies to execute to your best ability. Mm-hmm. But a lot of these workouts are just like, what is your legless rope climb ability? What is your handstand walking ability? How good are you at snatch?
Yeah.
The first two workouts are, the first workout is how good can you run? Everybody's going to clean and jerk about it about the same.
Totally.
And then the second workout is probably like a pacing strategy game for your best self. But 2 and 6 are really the only ones I think you can kind of game plan and get an edge on people. Mm-hmm. Other than just what, how good are you on at this movement?
Yeah. We'll go through the event. We're going to go event by event as we tinker through this. And I think for myself, is I was never the best athlete on paper. Like I didn't have the best lifts or the best single events. Like it just wasn't a thing. But for me, is I would figure out how I could perform the best. And that's all I would focus on, where other people are like, oh, I have to win this workout. And when they try that, they get 15th because they screw up their game plan because they go above their skis. And that's where I would be. So for myself, I was like, I'd run through this whole thing in whatever order I think it's going to be at 80% across this weekend. And then as you guys are talking about, in the next 2 weeks is just fine tune some certain bits and pieces of it. But let's poke through these. So of individual event number one, we have 5 rounds for time, 800 meter run, 10 clean and jerks at 185 and 125, time caps 30 minutes. John, you're talking about how this is being a major running event for this particular, but gosh, I just make it 135, please.
Dude.
Please. Right?
Make it 225.
Well, we got 225 like in the next event.
I'm just playing with you.
Dude, no, actually, but that's not a bad point because, okay, to get to semifinals, we just did clean and jerks. This was the second lift of the clean and jerks, of which all the athletes that made it into the semifinals, this was a warm-up stage still.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I mean, I did the 185. It wasn't bad at all. It took, 40 seconds, 45 seconds? Didn't take that long.
Well, that's when I look at this is like, now we're getting into that Helen mentality where you do 3 rounds, 40 meter run, 21 swings, 12 pull-ups. Once you get to this elite level, the swings and pull-ups don't matter anymore. It's how fast can you run and how long can you sustain that? Jer, when you look at this, is the question is, what's more important? Is it staying at a run pace where I can keep maybe the clean and jerks touch and go, or keep the clean jerk single and then keep that row pace at a, you know, near red line, but not a red line where I lose any time from round to round? How are you approaching that?
Yeah. Well, I think there's gonna be some people that, in my opinion, foolishly choose to go touch and go until round five.
I wouldn't touch and go.
What you gain there.
You say you would or wouldn't. Is,
I would not.
Okay.
What you gain there is going to be lost in the run. So I think anyone that does touch and go before round five is just very foolish. Mm-hmm. I look at this workout a little differently. So I look at the workout as event one and why it is event one. And when I look at it, I look at this workout going into event two, whether it's the same day. And if it is, that's a nasty day one. Or this is all they do the first day, and then they do 3 workouts on Saturday and 2 on Sunday. I think that clean and jerk at that load, you heard a lot of the high-level athletes talk about. The clean and jerk ladder, that intensity, doing 50 to 60 reps in quarters, was as much felt in their legs as it was in their shoulders when they did the gymnastics workout. That said, I think they want them to feel the 50 on the 50 front squat.
Okay.
That's why the load is there, and that's why it is what it is.
Interesting.
It's, you can maintain intensity, but it's more about the full scope of the day, the way that they start, because the last day is the lift. And I think it's awesome that it's the third day. And I think they're going to start feeling these 50 clean and jerk and these 50 front squats when they go to snatch those heavier bars.
See, I think they just want it. They want it to be more of a running workout, but you just can't only be able to run. Like if you're slower on that cadence speed on the 10 clean and jerks, then you don't belong to be high in the placings. I think everybody's going to be relatively the same speed. And then it's the fastest runner out of those people.
When you think about if everyone is planning to do singles and if you're just at a slower cadence, like you said, John. So for example, like if you and I were going side by side on these clean and jerks, like you're doing this in, I mean, what did you do it in quarterfinals? Said 30 seconds?
No, it was like 45.
Okay, 45 seconds. I'm doing it in no faster than a minute. And that's the first round fresh. Now I have to basically make up 15 seconds on an 800 meter run just to stay close.
Five times,
which means I have to keep my pace. Now it's there. Those are the back and forth that we're saying is that I think there's a lot more here available for strategy, where to push, where to not, where to, you know, like where to back off, where to speed up here than just maybe how it reads on paper.
Yeah, I almost, part of me would, I think would have rather have seen it. I mean, with those, if we're going to do the clean and jerks again, with the way that this is set up, I do think, like what everyone has said, they're going to be singles. That's almost your active recovery time so that you can hold your pace on the run. If 50 is the number that you want to have, then I almost would have been more fun to see like a buy-in and a cash out. Go 25 clean and jerks and then do your 2.5 mile run so that you're running that way. So it is all about the run. And now we get really into the run, you know, and then end up with it afterwards. Like that to me would be when I see it this way, written this way, it's almost kind of like, okay, the clean and jerks are just kind of there. Like I don't feel.
This is definitely one where I don't want to dive like too headlong into what I think it's going to be until I see these athletes take it on, especially those last two rounds, right? Like how I read this and perceive what it could be. It's always like, I'll always have a different view once we see people take the test.
Well, I'm going to do it tomorrow and I'll let you know.
All right, John.
what the slowest nice. Time of the semifinal will be. Because I think it's more of a running workout than a clean jerk. I like Bill's version so much better. but I also think, though, and like, I think JR would agree with me on this. Like, it's a little bit of who can stay in it the most, who can stay disciplined into having the same cadence
on clean and
jerks every time.
Yeah.
While maintaining your cadence on the run. Like Chase said, if it's me and him, like I think 185 is heavy enough that he can't beat me in this workout just by running faster.
Right.
But everybody who's any strong at all will beat me because they're fitter. Right. So like, I think that's, and you just take that to a greater extreme with them because they're the fittest athletes in the world. Mm-hmm. So like, I think it's more of a discipline thing, who can stay in it rather than who can cycle and then run the fastest.
JR, anything else on this one?
Yeah, I think there is a little bit more to the clean and jerk. Just that if we come to the understanding that people are going to be doing singles, then guess what? Not counting the first rep, that's 45 opportunities to rest longer than you need to. 45. So if your plan is to let the bar settle and pull, okay, you have 9 chances to execute that every single round. If you take a breath and tighten your belt, if you get chalk, if you do any of those things over the course of those 45 opportunities, you're losing seconds and you're losing seconds. You're losing seconds. We don't know if they're going to do 10 clean and jerks in one spot and move a chest piece. We don't know if they're going to do 10 clean and jerks and roll forward. We don't know if they're going to advance 10 spots, do 5, advance, do 5, advance, do 5, advance.
Oh, good point.
Little things like that, I think, are just a maybe answers we don't know that for the seasoned competitors they can plan for and their coaches can plan for, versus just, okay, let's put the air runner right next to our barbell and just go 5 rounds for time, 800.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point.
I mean, in the past, they've said air assault run. Now, I think it would be so cool, especially in Carson, if they had them run outside. But are they going to use runners? Are they going to use true forms like they did at some of the semifinals early on, right, after the COVID year? Are they going to use the Woodway that's been on Rogue's site for forever, but I haven't seen used in a competition? Like, what kind of runner are they going to use? There's going to be a lot of people that are like, I don't know what kind of runner it's on. Do I practice it on an assault runner and run longer? Like, I think there's going to be a lot of opportunities for people to get stressed out.
I agree with that. I think that it will have to be. They're going to have to make it uniform across, though. I mean, I would love to see them run around Carson. Are you kidding me? How sick would that be? I mean, I see it. They could put it in the soccer stadium, you know, and run that loop that they have there and have them advance the bars, you know, down the field if they want to do something like that. But you're right. I mean, those are good. There are a lot of opportunities. There is a lot of transition to it, or there could be. There's a chance of it being a lot of transitional moments, whether it's by rep or by having to move the bar either by sets of 10 or sets of 5 or whichever.
So I think it's just like who walks back to the runner,
yes,
and who jogs back to the runner, who runs to their barbell, who walks to their barbell.
If the barbells, like you said, JR, like that was a good, really good point, is that if the barbells are broken up, like if they have to advance or they have to do sets of 5, we saw this last year when it was with the overhead squats and they had, what was it, 20 to start? And they had to basically drop the bar and advance forward. Totally changed the impact of the overhead squats and changed the way you would approach this. If they're advancing the barbell every 5 reps or whatever they would, like, that's actually going to put, it's going to slow people down more and it's going to make the run matter more because there is that forced rest in there. Yeah. So
you think about too, when you get on a runner, how long does it take you to get to your working pace? How long does it take you to build to your, okay, now I'm at my pace? Like, do you use the first 100 meters to just basically catch your breath on the barbell?
Or do you
start going? Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and not knowing where people are. I mean, I would assume like they did last year.
Oh, yeah. That's
on
another
800 meter run back to back where they moved the little,
Which
was cool to see.
Yeah.
That was really cool to see. But then also too, you're kind of blind to what your competitors are doing. You can't see who's ahead of you. You can't see who's behind you. So,
all right, John, we're going to,
this is a workout that Matt Fraser would beat everybody by 3 minutes and nobody knows how. Like he did the same thing that everybody else did, but he's 3 minutes ahead of everybody.
Yeah.
And it's just because of that transitional, like discipline.
Yeah. You know? Yeah.
intention of his transitions.
And it was movement patterns, the cycle of, even if it's singles, it's like, I mean, Rich used to do the same thing where somehow he would drop the bar. We would land just perfectly, bounce twice in front of him. He wouldn't have to step back or forward, just those things. But let's switch over to individual event 2, 5 rounds for time, 100 double unders, 20 toes to bar, 10 front squats. I love how we get to have 225 and 155, but we can't have 185 and 135 for the women. Yeah, but that's neither here nor there. Things I love, and I've been waiting for this to happen for a long time, is we get double unders that matter in the workout to be monostructural in nature. It's not 20 or 50. It's 100 for 5 rounds, which is fan-freaking-tastic. And when I see this one off the bat, I see a regional whittled down version of, this is getting a little bit of the killer cage, right? Where we had multiple rounds of the watt bike, the monkey bars, and then the front squats, right? I think it was front squats for 7 reps at maybe the same weights or just a touch higher. But now you got the multiple rounds. You still have a monostructural. You still have a gymnastics. You still have a weightlifting. And 10 reps at 225 and 155 for 5 rounds, after what happened in event 1, like, now the barbell is a big piece of this puzzle.
This is my favorite workout.
Of all 6?
Yeah.
Really? Even more than the snatch, the repeat?
Yeah, I'm good at that one. Doesn't mean it's my favorite one. I don't really like workouts that I'm good at. I'm just good at one thing.
Easy, fair. Dude. Easy, fair. Easy. I love the fact that they put some weight, and not just for a couple reps, but like 50 reps at 225 and 155.
Dude.
Like, that's good. That is very, the weight set on that really harkens back to like the old regional set where it's appropriate for the, like, so they used to say the open was light and like burner, and then the regionals are just like stupid heavy. And I really like the setup of this one. Honestly, my personal opinion, I wish I would have done something other than toes to bar, because we already did 60 toes to bar in the quarterfinals.
Interesting. Jules is correct. And this is the thing. If I ever program double unders in any workout, it would be 500 somehow, some way. So I'm like, this is great.
I see this. It feels like each movement would take right around a minute or a little bit less than a minute. If you're breaking up the toes to bar, I mean, they'll probably do the toes bar much faster, but if you break the toes to bar up, it's about a minute. And 100 double unders is about a minute. if you front squat, not
if you're
like
unbroken.
Speed rep, right. But they will be. A 225 plus the break that it takes you to get ready for the 225 front squats is about a minute.
Mm-hmm. Like, there's not a lot of wiggle room here with the time cap.
There's not.
JR, what do you think the biggest carryover from event one will be in event two? Like, what are the athletes, you know, mid round one, maybe they're starting round two and they start thinking how they feel and because of why from event one?
Yeah, I just think it's all legs, right? I think the lungs will recover. There's a lot of running, but at the end of the day, that's a lot of pulling on that belt. It's a lot of hamstrings. It's a lot of quads. It's a lot of knee extension, knee flexion, just over and over again. Like, it's going to be legs here. So there are going to be a lot of people who see this workout and just think, oh, okay, so whoever can go unbroken on the squats is going to win. Maybe, but there are not going to be very many people that can do that. And I'll tell people right now, you're crazy if you think everyone's going to go unbroken.
Dude, I've heard that from some people.
They are not. And I think those that do won't necessarily have the fastest times. I think there are people that go unbroken that will have the fastest times, but I think a lot of people are going to be foolish into thinking that they have to hold on to the bar and pause for 3 seconds at the top just to get 10 versus going 6 and 4 and having 1 5-second break.
Yeah, the winner of round two on this one is not going to be.
Yeah, it's just, again, 100 double unders. Who jumps up right away onto the bar? Who chalks, loosens their belt, and takes another 5 second rest?
Yeah.
Who does the toes to bar unbroken? Who does 8-7-5 with 2 second breaks in between and goes right to the squat clean and starts squatting? There are so many places in this workout that you can strategize, that you can tinker with a little bit with your coach and see what the best game plan is going to be, because all that matters here is rounds four and five.
Mm-hmm. You think we'll see a lot of that? I mean, we say it all the time, is usually in a multiple round workout, like whoever's out round one, you know, they're not going to be there towards the end. Well, I see the same thing.
Colton Mertens is going to obliterate this workout. I will leave round one to round five.
All right. Heat one prop bet. Is it Colton Mertens or the field? Is that how confident?
I take Colton Mertens.
No, I would say, he's one of the very few examples of when I look at the workout, I'm like, okay, Colton doesn't have to break these. He's also very fast at double unders. Whether he chooses to break the toes to bar or not is kind of irrelevant for him. Mm-hmm. But there are going to be, like, can Jeff go unbroken? Maybe. Will he? I don't know. But, like, he's still super fit. And the reason why I really like this moderate to moderately heavy load type workout is fitness will still prevail. Just 100%, like the snatch ladder. 100%. It's not just going to be the strongest guy is going to win. That's not the case here.
Yeah. I love you said that, because that, I mean, it's a part of the reason why I love MWD triplets, right? A monostructural, a weightlifting, a gymnastics, all put together in a way where they all have their place. I know we're talking about front squats a lot, but like, if you don't have the capacity on toes bar, which most everybody will, but if you dip beyond the red line, you're screwed. Same thing for front squats. If you have a bad double under day because you're just in your head, or your legs are blown out, or your grip's fatigue, or maybe just your midline in general, because that's what front squats are going to tax after what we already did in day one. Running taxes your midline more than people give respect to. Same thing with clean and jerks. And coming into today is like, if you're not on your P's and Q's for double unders, which is more just about focus and rhythm, like that could get just as like you miss three times, 15 seconds are off the table. And when you're in round three and four, then you start feeling sorry for yourself because you missed. Where are you going to make that up? I really do like this one a lot.
How much you guys think the run is going to affect the double unders? I mean, I think that I feel that double unders are one of those events, one of those movements that if you have it, you have it. But if, I mean, we're doing 2.5.
I would say it depends on how they're running.
Right.
If they're on runners, right, I think it will affect it a lot, because the runners blow up my calves and hamstrings way more than just running on flat ground. That's a good question. I don't know.
I think they'll feel their calves the next day rather than during this workout.
Well,
not like the after effects, like Dom sort of a thing, but like a almost it like a strain. You know what I mean? Like where you get that kind of bitey feeling in your calves. And I don't mean I don't mean like one and two. I'm talking like around 300, 400 double unders now, where you're trying to really go, and all of a sudden something something.
You saw Emily Rolfe like lose Wadapalooza because she had flutter cramps in her calves on the double unders.
Oh yeah. Anything else on event two while we still have JR?
God, I love the wait.
It's awesome. Got to go soon. All right. Speaking of calves, 7 rounds for time. This is event number 3. 10 cal echo bike, 1 legless rope climb, 10 box jump overs at 30 and 24, 1 legless rope climb. 7 rounds of that. Now, there's a lot of details in here that I feel like could make an impact on how these things get executed, because we've seen box jump overs program for the last couple of years, and it's been step down mandatory. Mm-hmm. Right? So JR, we got to step down. We already been talking legs for the last 2 events. We've got a cal bike in here. We've got box jump overs at a higher height. Like, what is the difference or benefit could be if they say, hey, any way up and over the box, or you do have to step down?
Yeah, this is really interesting because it makes you want to have Boz and Dave here to ask, is the intent for the best just gas pedal the whole way? Or is it a little bit more of, no, we want you to have to slow down a little bit so that you don't get caught up on the rope? Like, that would be my question to them.
Yeah.
Is there a nice little progression from, yeah, we made you step off the 24-inch box doing burpees. Now we're going to make you step off the higher box, and you're really going to feel what you've done the last day on the legs. Personally, just by reading it and thinking about what they want it to be, looking at the rest of the week, this is the do one thing, and don't stop. Who can do it and transition and not stop? I think stepping down would blunt the intensity here.
I agree.
I'm going to say that they want them to be able to bound.
Now, this reminds me, I keep looking back at a couple of things that we've seen in the past, and we've seen this as a repeat where, what's this, 2022, it was 10 rounds for time, a shuttle run, basically, and a legless rope climb. And that was 10 rounds. You have 14 legless rope climbs in here with something worse and less recovery-esque as a simple shuttle run. So this just looks like a harder version of whatever we had those last couple of years with that. And that thing wrecked people because they would either get to the rope too quick and start too fast, or their arms would blow up in the process.
I think rebounding would be a mistake, but maybe they're just good enough they can.
A mistake in what way?
I think it's less recovery if you rebound. You're going faster. Your heart rate's getting jacked up for rebounding 30-inch box jump overs. If guys can just hold it all 7 rounds, or girls, I think the girls will be way more paced than the guys will be. So I'm talking mainly on the guys. But it's really impressive if people are able to rebound just legless rope climb at the speed that they're going to the whole entire way. I think it baits people into blowing up.
Yeah, I agree. Sure. With I think in the old days, that wouldn't have even been a question about rebounding. I think, I honestly, after the last 2 events, I would be in the camp that they're going to make them step down.
I hope so.
For safety, you know, and they don't want to crush anyone's legs that way. But then also, just to what you said, John, to keep the heart rate down just enough.
Thank you, Monique.
Because I think this has more to do with this is a rope climb event.
Sure.
And they want athletes to be able to have enough recovery time where they're able to get the rope climbs rather than sitting there staring at the rope. Because 14, I love the fact that they upped it. I love the fact that they upped it for this level. We had rope climbs in the quarters. They were regular, you know. So we got to touch the rope. We've done this one in regionals before. In different versions of it with the legless. And I think we've had legless rope climbs the last 8 years.
Yeah, that's a staple, man.
So, I mean, I think it's appropriate now to have that 14. JR, and I think they'll make them step for that.
Do you think 14 is a lot? Or because, like, in my opinion, it is a lot. I'm fine with it, but I'm also really, I'm bad at them. Like, you're good at them. So do you think it's a lot as far as testing them or no?
Well, like for me personally, that workout is only an echo bike workout for me. It's just, can I,
wait, like, you're saying this is an echo bike workout for you?
For me. Yeah. But dude, just because of just because of really like niche things, like
it's a wheelhouse
higher box jump overs and legless, right? So like for the best, especially the males, because there is a big difference there with the 14 legless females and males, it's rounds 5, 6, and 7. The legless is so fast, it's like 3 seconds. Am I still holding the same bike? Am I building my pace on the bike, or am I using the bike as recovery before my next legless rope climb? So for me, like if you just do the math, like can you do 2 a minute? That's 7 minutes. The time cap is right. Like the time cap is 16. It's 14 total. So like, dude, this workout is going to be so fast for the people that can really race it, that I think it's going to be really, really, really fun to watch. It might be the most exciting workout to watch of the weekend, even taking into account a lunge finish.
Who's
Leahy versus the world?
Whose ticket to the games gets ruined because they mispace this?
Yeah, and there will be some. I would imagine that it's going to be a female. I mean, just because 14 is so dense.
I mean, we've seen that over the years. Yeah. Is legless rope climbs are just derailing some of these bids to the cross of gains for these female athletes.
Even if you box jump over slowly because you're just like, hey, this is just two legless rope climbs back to back, the faster I go on the box, the less recovery it's going to be for me. Mm-hmm. Like, still, I mean, people are going to be gripping the handles hard too on the bike, man.
Dude, that 16-minute cap.
There's more interference there. Yeah,
that 16-minute cap changes everything because say you are going to blow up on legless rope climbs, and Bill, I'll shut up in just a second.
Yeah, no, you're good.
Is that, okay, I don't push the bike because I got to save myself for the rope. It's like, then you're just losing more and more time. So this is going to be interesting.
Well, I think that will be... That will be, we were talking about what to do for the 2 weeks, 3 weeks leading up to your event. That's what I think the coaches will be playing with here. How hard do I push the bike and the box jump over? Do I need to have so that I can get right on the rope and make it happen? Because if you are trying to ride the bike fast and you get to the rope and you got a chalk and you're staring at the rope, well, what the hell did you ride fast on the bike for?
Right.
It's sure. going to be a matter of trying to figure out that balance point between, you know, where your weakness is, whether it's the rope climb, or if you need to push the, you know, push the machine or the jump, or are you able to get right to work? And I think as far as what, especially on the women's side, where everyone will agree is it's going to be the rope climbs. And I love the fact that it bounces back.
Hey,
and
I've
forth.
Seen Fabian Benito in 2020 at Lowlands, like screwed up his whole bid to the games because of this event.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, it will be interesting to see the juxtaposition between where the workout was won for the males and where the workout was won for the females. I think it's 100% a legless rope climb workout for all the females.
Yeah.
Just period. They have the same number of echo bike cows as the males. But for the males, do we see something like Dallin last year at semifinals and the finale? He was just able to build pace on the bike, and that's why he won that workout, right? Yeah. On the sandbag carry. So, like, on this type workout, are people just kind of, do they go lactic a little bit because they're going so fast on the first half that eventually they just start slowing down and the box and the bike is what matters more than the rope? Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know. It'll be interesting to see.
JR, I know you got to jump here in just a sec, but do you think this is the most stressful workout of the bunch for these athletes? Because there's always one, and sometimes it was the lifting event that would stress people out because it was a one rep max or it was a complex or it was an every minute for three tries. Is this the one that jumps off the page? Is like, as soon as I get past this one, I can go back to just competing and not stressing about it just because so much could go wrong, even if you're great at it?
I don't know, man. I think that last statement could be said for a lot of people on event 5, because I think that
that's what I would have said.
Think about going into day 3. You're in a qualifying position. You've never been in a qualifying position before. You've hit 175 a million times. You've hit 265 a million times, but the legs are feeling a little bit heavy. This starts to matter a little bit more. I got to beat the guy to my left to stay ahead of him going into the finale. I don't want to have to win the last workout. Pressure starts building. So I would still think that it's close, but I would think that like a legless rope climb here is just as expensive as a last missed rep on a snatch,
which we saw happen a lot in 2016, a la Josh Bridges.
And we don't know the handstand walk details for event 4 sure. either. If it's obstacle courses stuff, people have failed obstacle course on handstand walk over and over again before too.
Yeah.
But, all right, guys.
Thanks, JR.
Later, dude.
Tell Seth we said hi and thank tell him you. To stop scheduling when we go on Monday, Wednesday fries at the same time every week. Thanks, Seth. I saw you in the chat too. The thing with this one, and if we want to jump over to the next event for event four, but you look at this one, 400-meter row, 96-foot handstand walk, 600-meter row, 120-foot handstand walk, 800-meter row, 72-foot handstand walk. It's interesting numbers here, how the handstand walk is going to be done. The first thing I want to touch on this is that there's still little details we don't have for all of these events that can have potentially massive impact on how these events take place. Like moving of the barbell. Is right. it going to be on a runner or the ground? Or is every round in the previous, like, do you roll your bar forward on the front squats, which actually gives you more time to play around? Do you have to move a chest piece like we used to do on the legless rope climb event? On this one, what is the distance? Is it unbroken? Is it in sections? Is there an obstacle? Is there a pirouette in here we don't know about? Do you have, like, is it a down and back? Is it a down, like, how all this is going to be set up totally changes the way these things unfold, which I think is a good thing that we don't have, because as soon as we got these in the way we did, is I think we still have some element of things that can change going into semifinals.
Well, and I saw it initially, like when I first saw this event, it looked like an up and down ladder. You have your row increasing and then you have your handstand walk decreasing. But then when the way that it bounces back and forth, 96 to 120 to 72, mm-hmm. it's like,
it makes me think there's going to be escalating obstacles. Like 96 foot might be straight, 120 foot might be the ramp and then the stairs and the ramp, and then the 72 foot, you might have the parallettes. Something. On that row, like three different rows.
Well, and then even if you're going that way, it's like what is that lane going to look like? Like if you're trying to put that on the floor somehow and you have different types of, it opens up a ton of possibility of what it could be rather than just handstand walking. Mm-hmm. And even if they have obstacles in there, why not go 120, 96, 72? Like it seems so, like I'm really interested to see what that distance change in that order. Mm-hmm. Like what's the reason for that? Cause it seems really, really odd.
What do you like about, how do you feel about it? John, I'll start with you. Is that coming off legless and the bike and the box jump overs, toes to bar, right? And then we're going into this push-pull-like version with monostructural with the row and then getting inverted for the handstand walk. Do you like coming off what we had and then into something like this?
I think they're just giving their legs a break. I feel like they murdered their lower body in the first day, and then they're going to murder the upper body in the second day, and then the third day is just going to be like, hey, who's still alive? You know? I think it's just a handstand walk workout. I think something's going to be in those. It's not just going to be straight speed. 1800 meters is 5 to 6 minutes for everybody. Like the gaining that you're going to make on 1800 meters of row is inconsequential when it comes to, are you successful in the handstand walk?
Yeah.
So I think it's just a handstand walk workout really.
When you're getting close to that 100-meter mark with total handstand walk, if you get through the whole thing too.
That's so, 300 foot.
Yeah. I also think it's interesting that they're doing meters on this. Like, why not set calorie for
this was number? Dave's workout.
What's that?
This was Dave's workout.
You know, this is not unlike, was it a last chance qualifier workout where it was 1,000-meter row into max distance handstand walk in 8 minutes? Mm-hmm. Or not? Or was it 6 minutes and it was a 1K?
I think it was six minutes. And a 1K, yeah.
Yeah, 8 minutes. I was like, oh, that doesn't make any sense. So very similar to that. So some people have some experience with this combination. I do love the combination.
Oh, totally.
Right? Like a hinged leg drive and pull on the row, and then you get inverted in gymnastics for a handstand walk, however it's going to be done. But if you look at what we had for the last four events, you've got monostructural with a lot of running in event one plus some barbell cycling at light to moderate weight for higher volume in 50 reps. And then you go to event two, you've got monostructural with the double unders, you've got the toes to bar with the anterior flexion of the core and hanging from a pull-up bar, which is going to be grip oriented. And then you got the front squats for high volume at moderate to heavy weight for the number of reps that we're doing. And then you've got the bike monostructural for certain reps. And then you had the gymnastics and then the doubling up on the gymnastics of the box jump overs. And now you come here with a monostructural gymnastic combo, right? Because we had the monostructural weightlifting combo in event one. And now we're coming back at the halfway point with a monostructural gymnastics combo, knowing what we have coming up in event number five. Just some things to think about. It's like four in a row with a monostructural element to it. That's not a bad thing. I'm just drawing attention to it.
Than the first one.
I can almost guarantee there's going to be obstacles in there, because if you think about this, we could play the time game. Mm-hmm. 1800 meters is 5 to 6 minutes, right?
Yes. No. More.
5 to 6:30.
6 to 7.
5:30 to 6:30.
6 to 7.
For men.
6 to 7 is still pretty quick.
That's not. No, it's not. Anyway, 300 feet of handstand walking. That takes me 5 minutes, and they're way better than I am. That's 10 minutes, 11 minutes, mm-hmm. right? It has to be more than that.
Okay. All right. So then maybe they make it so there's unbroken. I mean, you don't even if you were to not have obstacles, but you had a longer distance of unbrokenness where you had to get 25 feet, if that's what, I keep seeing that number pop up there, 24 feet, whatever it is, where they're making it that you have to have that. So now you talked about pressure, and if you miss one,
feet in pirouette to go back down 24 feet.
Oh,
maybe that's your unbroken.
Can you come down or unbroken?
Now you aren't just hopping right off the rower and going right into it. Now you're like, okay, I need to make sure that I get this right, and that will slow your tempo down. Then that will slow that time frame down for sure.
Like, no, you have to stay that. So 48 foot total unbroken. Oh, right. That'd be 24 feet. Then you got to turn around 24 feet. Right. You have to do that unbroken.
Oh, I see.
That would be, I would love that. I mean, that's just handstand walk endurance then.
Totally.
And I feel like that's what they're shooting for here. But 100% it could be that instead of the obstacles.
One thing I want to draw attention to, just because I said this is the fourth event in a row that we've had a monostructural component. This way it's been programmed so far is so much better than what we had last year, because we had a lot of machines in monostructural program last year. Just show the difference between the two. When people just look at numbers on a sheet of paper, it's like, oh, we did this many monostructural movements or this many machines. Because last year, I mean, event one, obviously, with the echo bike for the distance, the row, and then the ski. But then you had the runner for twice on two events back to back with the snatches. You had the echo bike again for the finale. And then you had the rower in another event. Like, these elements, yes, event one is heavy on the run, time domain wise and just emphasis wise. As we said, is like most people are picking a pace on the barbell that can handle it at a certain pace. But even you look at the double unders, that isn't the overpowering part of that, mm-hmm. right? Whereas some of these other monostructural movements machine wise were actually a big part of success or failure in particular events. So even though they have four in a row, I think it's better balanced already than what we had last year, because of the way it's been put into these particular events.
Yeah, it's far less skewed. I think all the way through, it's a balanced test. It's not skewed towards a certain athlete, where last year I think was skewed towards bigger, powerful athletes. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we go from a monostructural gymnastics event right into weightlifting. So in two events, we get a touch of everything, and we have a repeat from 2016. This was event number one at regionals. It's the same weights. It's the same time frames with the time checks that they had. But this will not be the same event it was in 2016 for these athletes. Oh, look, we have 185 and 135, and it's a snatch workout. Cool.
What's crazy is that, love that consistency. You see, at 2016, we had the right weights.
Hey. How many people are still around that did this in 2016? Because Fikowski won this event, and Vellner was in this.
Fikowski, yeah. Vellner, Yonikoski, BKG, Cole Sager.
It's a fair amount of people.
Yeah. On the women's side, I'm trying to think of the women's side.
Probably less so on the women's side because the Icelandics are gone. Sarah.
And Katrin's out. Sarah. That's probably it. No, it's not it, but like.
Turi, maybe?
Scuds? Turi?
Brooke Wells, that's a good one.
Brooke Wells, yeah, that's a good one. If Ben Smith signs up, yes. What's up, Cheeky? Travis Mayer,
What's interesting about this one is maybe there were athletes that didn't do this in the actual regional in 2016, but this format and this style has been seen and recognized, and I think we would agree, as the way to have a strength piece. Oh, yeah. Oh, duh.
Sorry, Tia.
Thank you, Mike.
So I think there's a hell of a lot of athletes that have done this exact workout multiple times.
Mm. Emma McQuaid. Yeah. I don't think Amanda Barnhart had started yet. I think she's 2017.
2017 was her first year.
Yeah. Guaranteed she's done it.
I'm excited to see this one. I'm curious how the format's going to go. Is it going to be the same flow as 2016?
I hope so. I hope it's exactly like 2016.
For those that don't know, John, what was the flow of 2016?
You moved your barbell up, and then you had to add 10s on each time.
Right. So it wasn't a ladder that you just ran through like the 2014 CrossFit or 15 CrossFit games where there's just barbells laid out there. You actually had to load your weights.
Yes. Yeah, you had to load. You have to load each time.
What would you like better? Just a line of barbells and run through it, all 10 bars, or not 10 bars, all 5 bars from start to finish, or make athletes change their weights as they do that?
I like making the athletes change the weights because it actually, I think it shows the people who practice changing weights fast because there's a little skill to it. Like there's, but on the contrary to that, like I think if it's just barbells in front of you, I think that's more fitness. Because you're tired. There's no like rest that's given to you.
All right. And then the difference being is this was event one in 2016. Mm-hmm. This is now event 5 in 2024. And athletes feeling much different on their way to get here based off everything that they've done to this point. I know it's 4 events, but we talk how much legs and fatigue there's been in the first 2 events alone.
I mean, 50 squats at 225.
I want to say that they did this exact event at the West Coast Classic.
They did. They did.
Because Tola tried to double the 265 and he missed it.
A lot of people were missing that bar because of the pace at which they started with.
Did they have to change their own weights or was that bar? Did they have that?
I think they did it exactly the same. Yeah, I think they did it exactly the same, which was cool because that year at West Coast Classic, they tried to repeat a lot of old regional or games events that year.
That's right.
I like it. I'm glad we get a repeat, right? We haven't had a repeat in a little bit of a while, and I like it's a regional event that we get to see again back on the main stage with, 8 years removed with more fit. Thank you. People? People, like I hope everybody, the collective athlete pool has gotten fitter since 2016.
The JR did a thruster version of this at Crash.
Yes,
exact
he did.
Same weights. And James Sprague beat me because I tested that workout.
Oh, that's right. I remember that.
And he beat Prevo.
Look, you guys are thinking of all these great names.
He beat me by 20 seconds. Will he beat me in this version?
When are you doing this?
Whenever.
Are you gonna do it? Are you gonna do it like how you tested Robin? Was that yesterday?
I'm not going to go live with it. No, I'm going to do them all. I really want to. I'm going to prove Taylor that I wouldn't be last place in a semifinal. So I'm going to do them all in order.
Okay.
Probably can't do like how they're going to do it as far as the fatigue factor, but I'll try to make it as close as possible.
All right. Oh, I'm excited to see this one. But when we get to the final, though, this final event, 30-15, 72-foot, 30-22 cals in the echo bike between men and women, 15 ring muscle ups, and then a walking lunge to the finish. I see 3 different finales from regionals in here. 30 cal echo bike is from the 2017 finale, which was 30 cal bike, 20 burpee box jump overs where you could put your hands on the box, and then 10 cleans with the sandbag to the finish line. The 15
that
ring muscle ups.
Quarter you legend, right?
No, that was the legless. That was 3-2-1. I think that was 2016.
Oh, I thought somebody from Oceana sent it on this.
That, well, it was Con Porter, but it wasn't this workout. The person who sent this the most was actually George Sanchez.
Yes.
Where he just went absolute crazy. And then I remember Alessandra Pacelli was in the lead and then like left her bag to the finish line. I had to go back and get it. Or I can't remember that. That was the California regional, or it was SoCal. Or is it all California? But the 15 ring muscle ups is part of another finale, which was the 15 ring muscle up buy-in into the squat clean ladder.
Yep.
Which was 2015. That event was awesome. And then the walking lunge with the dumbbells. We didn't have a walking lunge, but you did have a 100-pound dumbbell. And remember the kitchen sink finale in regionals in 2012, Bill?
Yeah. Yeah.
It was ring muscle ups and deadlifts at like 345, like three rounds of 7 and 7. And then it was the wall ball shots and the toes to bar for three rounds of whatever it was. Right. And then it was dumbbell farmer carry 100 pounds to a box across the floor, do burpee box jump overs, dumbbell farmer carry them back, and then three ring muscle ups at the very end for why? You remember that one? Kitchen sink?
I do remember. That was 2012.
So this thing has elements of three different finals of regionals all wrapped into one, starting with the cow bike, going into the ring muscle ups, and then the 72-foot dumbbell walking lunge with hundreds and 70s. The only thing I wish they did here is they used a ski erg instead of a bike.
Right.
Because then we would have actual drama on the rings.
Well, I think they want drama on the lunge.
I don't think you're going to get it.
Dude, 200-pound dumbbells after smoking your legs with lactic acid, I think it's going to be harder than you think.
I agree with that, but
200s is a lot.
The muscle-ups, however, are basically a foregone conclusion.
For the men.
For the women, they'll be better than 2015. Nobody could do it in 2015, and that was to start it.
I think this is going to be.
I think it's still going to be great.
It'll be a great race. It'll be nice. It'll be super fast and exciting. But they could have had a skier for a couple reasons. One, we already had the Echo bike.
Yeah.
Two, throw the skier in there so it's grip, grip, and grip. I mean, you got your legs in there, but you're going to have grip that's going to be used the whole time.
In three different ways.
And I think that would have been, that would have taken away from the race. Then we wouldn't have anything to complain about as far as like, oh, they got the Echo bike again. I mean, whenever you repeat a machine like that, it's like, there's got to be a reason why you had that, not just because they're there.
Do y'all think it's farmer carry or front rack?
I'm going to have lunges? To say, I think it'll be farmer's carry.
What because usually they designate where it's going to be.
Two 100-pound dumbbells overhead.
Not for 72 feet.
I don't think. not at this level. Anyway. Yeah,
I was talking earlier what would actually be really cool if they did like 36 feet farmer carry, 24 feet front rack carry, 12 feet overhead carry as a nod to the 2021 finale that they did with the barbell, but now they're doing it with dumbbells. That would be pretty sweet.
I like that.
I like that. This is a classic old school regional finale.
I think so. Yeah.
Right. Just to burn it down, go. With the level of these athletes that are in contention for game spots, I don't think they're going to get as blown out from 30 cals and 22 cals as we may think to have a massive effect at the end for those lunges. I just think those lunges are just going to be heavy.
Disagree so much. Their legs were blown to smithereens in day one. You let the dom sit in for a day, and then it comes into day three, and then you have.
They haven't used them for two events though.
Yeah, so you have a whole day for all that lactic acid to show up on the next day. Like then you spend the 30 cals is not a super fast sprint. Like that's 30 seconds. Mm-hmm. That's 30 seconds of sprinting if you're going all out.
I agree. And like, then you just get to sit on the rings and just kind of let it go away for the next 30 to 40 seconds.
I think athletes will smoke it. I think only the best will smoke it.
Does everybody go unbroken or do people put this thing down multiple times?
On the lunges, I think people put it down. I think only the best will go unbroken.
Yeah.
And if like you have like let's say how many guys are going 40.
Mm-hmm.
If eight guys going broken out of the 40, then I think the lunge has made a huge difference.
Well, then how necessary is it to send the bike?
Depending knowing the impact. You got 3 weeks to test it.
That's true. Or five, depending on what semifinal you're in.
Mm-hmm.
Jeez.
Maybe I'm wrong, though. Maybe everybody goes unbroken and it's a stupid workout.
Well, if everybody's great at it, then you have to start playing the game of where do I try to get the edge?
The bike.
Right. Because the muscle-ups, you try to speed those up, you're either going to get out of control depending on how long the straps are and how that setup is, or you're going to short a lockout and have to do an extra rep. Right? Like you don't race the muscle-ups. You just do them unbroken.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Yeah.
I wonder if they're going to force them. I wonder if it's 36 feet, if they force them to put them down to turn around.
Yeah.
Oh, they might do 36 feet, but you don't have to, they don't force them to turn around. So they just put it in your head. Hey, you can turn around if you want to, or you can put them down if you want to.
Maybe.
You know what I mean?
Oh, like, turnaround would be so lame.
Well, but they did that. That was the final last time, though, when they did it with the overhead squat.
I like Chase's idea where it's like you do 36 feet on farmer carry, 18 feet or 24 feet front rack, and then 12 feet
it's way over, too overhead. Crazy, dude.
12 it's awesome. Feet, like that overhead with 200s would be so hard.
And it's like, only 12 feet, but you're just
okay. But here's the thing, though. Do you want the last 12 feet to determine whether people are going to the games or not? Like, is that
100%? That's what I want. Yeah.
Is that,
I am fan, team John 100%.
What I'm talking about is the athlete that's progressing forward.
You have 6 weeks to learn how to 12 feet overhead with 200s. Go get it done. Yeah.
It's only 12. It's four steps.
I'm just saying, put 200 pounds over your head. Like,
oh
that.
No, I'm not saying I can do it.
Right. I can.
Right.
I'm just saying that I think, I love it. I like I said, I think it takes way too much creativity for CrossFit to come up with something like that. I love what it's showing.
Mm-hmm.
I love what it's showcasing. I think it would be a little too detrimental to put it in there, and it would take away from the race.
I think it would make the race way more exciting, but I agree with you. I think CrossFit's not creative enough to do that.
All right. Here's the most important question. After seeing the programming, how does Taylor do?
I haven't put a hard look on it. I'm coming out. So I'm going to make my rankings. I don't know if Spin's going to post it or not.
Of course, we're overcomplicating it, Spin. That's the whole point of the show. You should know better.
I'm going to put out who's going to make the CrossFit Games on Monday.
Is this the body?
The mountain?
Yeah, what geographical body are we using?
No, there's no geographic body. Dallas-Fort Worth area. Just put faces in there.
You don't want to call it like John's Ark? You know, just no, two by twos?
No, I'm not going to make it. I'm not going to put... It's not about me, Chase. It's about the people that are going to go to the game.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Okay. So, but we're going to come out on Monday, and then I'll tell everybody who's going to make it in.
Oh.
And then I'm sure we'll conversate about it.
Okay. The thing, knowing what I know about Taylor's strengths and weaknesses and things he's good at and things that he's a bit worried is...
I'll know after event two for Taylor.
That's true.
Oh, exactly.
I think if Taylor can get through event two mid-pack, it's going to set himself up really well for the rest of the weekend.
It hurts him that he's in the East. Like, without looking, having a hard look at it, I think he makes it in the West.
Well, we also don't know how many game spots they're coming out with. They haven't updated their strength of field yet.
Do you know when that will happen?
No.
Okay.
But if it's like the workouts, it should be any time now. Has anybody checked Hiller Fit 2.0 of the new rankings for... Maybe that got leaked to him too.
There are multiple events that he's going to obliterate.
What would be better for Taylor, last year's programming or this year's programming?
Last year's programming had the pistols with the weighted ruck, and I think that blunts his ring complex ability. I don't know. And like then it's the max snatch. I think this one's better.
I like this one for
my mind.
I think this one's better.
All right. Colton has told us. Taylor event two will be fine. His double unders are fast. He's great at toes of bar. He won't bleed much. Colton, you're our prop bet. It's you versus the world in event two, by the way.
Colton's just biased because he can do those front squats easier than anybody else. So he thinks right. Everybody's fine at them. He doesn't know what it's like for people that it's hard for. He came out the womb front squatting too.
I do like these a bit better for Taylor.
I think this year's better than last year for Taylor, for sure. Especially since the endurance event got so skewed by the heavy sled last year.
True. That did.
It's not a given that he just crushes everybody in that because it wasn't about endurance. It was how good could you pull the sled?
Yeah. I mean, unless you're in Europe or Oceania.
Right. They got the right test, but yeah. We're not there.
All right. Overall, first blush. I know we'll analyze the programming after it's all said and done with semifinals because we like to watch people take the test overall before we analyze the programming. But John, for yourself, overall first gut knee-jerk reaction for the programming?
I like it. I think it's well-balanced. I think it's very fitnessy, and that's good. I think the right people will get to the games. I think it's the right amount of like it's hard enough, mm-hmm. but still fitnessy enough, which I've had complaints about quarterfinals forever that it's not like that. So I like the programming and I'm excited to see. I think the race will be fun.
Bill?
I agree. I think that generally speaking, we're looking at a heavier loaded general fitness. And I think that that's really, really important. A couple things that I just kind of irritate me a little bit are the clean and jerks on the first one, since we just did that out of the quarterfinals. And then repeating the echo bike. I think there are a couple ways that could have been changed a little bit, but overall, I do like the balance, of the movements. I like we're getting a lot of squatting in there, which I think is good. A lot of times we
haven't had a lot of that this year.
Right. We seem to miss that. So I think that's a good one. I think the repeat was if you're going to have a repeat, picking a repeat that it's been a model of a workout. I think that's awesome. Mm-hmm. So I'm overall excited about what they are. I mean, the initial I was like, what the heck? We just did all these same movements, but it's nice to see that they really put them together pretty well. So it'll be interesting to see what it looks like real life versus on paper, how that's going to change.
First of all, there's 500 people watching this show, I was just told.
You guys are awesome. 506 right now.
You guys are insane. It's all John. John's the needle mover these days.
There you go. I think it's the released workouts, but you know.
For me, this feels for the first time like regionals again in a long time. Because ever since 2018, you got the 2019 sanctionals where everybody's trying to just big dick each other with what they're programming for sanctioned events. And then that carried all the way through 2021. People had different programming. And then last year, we got all the same programming, but even that, it was so skewed into like all the machine work and wall facing handstand pushups and pirouettes in the middle and this double backed event, snatch event that didn't need to happen. And then a three rounder workout for the finale. And now I just see weights everybody can do, fitness that everybody has within their reach. And now people just get to out fitness each other for three straight days. And it all comes down to one event where, as you guys were saying, you are going to have to be perfect and flawless. And at the same time, a little irresponsible if you're a bubble athlete to try to make it to the CrossFit Games. I can't wait to see these things unfold for 3 weeks. I'm super pumped about the programming. And I do get some nice nostalgic regional vibes again that I haven't had since 2018.
Yeah.
So I'm super pumped. Dex, where the hell have you been? I hate I missed this. By the way, if all 500 of you guys are watching and you're not,
you're allowed to rewind, Dex. It's not a, you don't have to wait for
all of you guys watching. If you do enjoy what we're doing here, thank you so much. Hit subscribe and then hit the button, the bell. There's a little bell right there that will tell you and text you when we do go live. So you don't have to miss things like this. So that would be pretty sweet if you guys follow along with us here. 500 of you guys watching us talk about workouts. I really do appreciate it. John, I appreciate your time. Bill, as always, we'll see what the we'll see what happens in a couple weeks.
How it unfolds, yeah.
And JR, I know he's not here anymore, but we got to have JR hop on the show for the very beginning, and I finally got to play a soundbite for him, so I was super pumped. But thank you guys for watching the show. Join our membership if you want to. Just click our channel, click join, $3, $5. You guys just get be a part of the party. It just helps us do more things in the space for you guys. CrossFit Jeopardy is coming back next week, so make sure you guys keep your eyes peeled for that announcement. And then one more Inside the Leaderboard show is coming. Oh, yes, the Peaky shirt. These will be available on the OG Culture site soon. But one more Inside the Leaderboard show is coming, and this, I think, actually might be my favorite one because we will have the actual top 100 from CrossFit Games, and that will include anybody and everybody who's been competing for the last 2 years, whether they're retired or going team. Those are all in the mix. And we'll get to take CrossFit's actual top 100. And then by next week, we'll have the real list of every individual competing in semifinals. And we'll make a top 100 out of that list and compare the two and show you the true, actual, real-time difference between our system and not even how people got there, right? You can take quarterfinals and open out of it. We'll take only the people competing in semifinals individually and show you the difference between the two based off our two systems. So CrossFit Jeopardy next week, Inside the Leaderboard next week, and then two more weeks to talk about the drama that has unfolded with these semifinal events. Jonathan, if you're coming to Dallas, hit me up. Hit me up. Give me a shirt. No, that's not how that works. That's not how that works. Thank you guys for supporting the show. We'll see you guys next week as I try not to hit the same button twice.